This morning, we are continuing to think about what to give up. This morning, the title of the sermon is Giving Up Religion. Some of you may remember these lyrics. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight, losing my religion, trying to keep up with you, and I don't know if I can do it. Oh no, I've said too much. I haven't said enough. The lyrics are from the song Losing My Religion by R.E.M. Michael Stipe, the lead singer for R.E.M., was quoted after this song became popular, saying that the song really and the lyrics really were not about faith. They're not about religion per se. He said the phrase, losing my religion, is an expression that really refers to losing one's temper or civility or feeling frustrated or desperate. Well, given that definition, as we are cooped up in our homes for several weeks now, many of us have felt frustrated. We have felt anxious. We have felt anger. Sometimes maybe we've felt like we are losing our religion. Well, this Lenten season, as we talk about what to give up, we have discussed the seven deadly sins. We've talked about our need to give up things like envy and greed and lust and gluttony and sloth and pride and anger. So this morning, as we come to this topic of giving up our religion, giving up religion, what does that mean to give up religion? To lose our religion. Well, briefly, let me just say what I am not talking about this morning. This morning, as we talk about giving up religion, I am not certainly encouraging anyone to give up faith. We desperately need faith. Now, we need stronger faith than ever before. My hope is that today's service strengthens our faith. I'm also not saying people should quit being involved with church in any way. Of course, right now we can't come to church and be physically here, but after this is over, we certainly want everyone back and actively involved. Now, this morning I'm thinking about something different. It's the idea of giving up religion. Religion is defined as, quote, a specific set of beliefs and practices generally agreed upon by a number of persons. Now, according to that definition, religion often becomes for us a list of things we believe. Religion can become for us a handful of required actions or behaviors that we feel like we need to perform in order to keep our religion. In other words, if I do this and I don't do that, if I simply believe this and I don't believe that, then I am a religious person. Well, in this view, religion often becomes synonymous with what we might think of as tradition, what we've always done, what we've always believed. And something I read this past week reminded me. Here's the quote, tradition without purpose merely propagates more tradition without fostering growth or forward thinking. In other words, religion then can be very limiting. It can be this external, objective list of required beliefs and activities that don't have anything to do with our relationship with God. Now, this morning on Easter Sunday, we would certainly say our beliefs and our behaviors are important. That is true. But let's be very clear. On Easter Sunday morning, Jesus didn't die just so we could have a list of beliefs. Jesus was not resurrected simply to give us a handful of actions we must do in order to keep the faith. No. Jesus died and was resurrected so that we might have life. abundant life, a relationship with God that is meaningful and purposeful for us. That's why we celebrate on Easter Sunday morning. Stephen Reese is a professor at the University of Texas in Austin, and he wrote a book entitled Hope for the Thinking Christian. In that book, he writes these words. Most people, whether fully conscious of it or not, reach a point where they want more out of life. I do, he says. I want something more out of life, to live a life of faith that takes me out of myself, to be able to live for something beyond my own narrow limits, to know God, and to let God use me for a higher purpose. And he goes on to say, our faith is more than just religious beliefs. It is not merely a part of life. It is a way of life. Our faith is not merely a religion. It is life itself. In our text for today, Mary doesn't recognize Jesus at first. But when he spoke her name, Mary then realized who it was that was standing before her, not the gardener, but it was her Lord. And in that moment, she wanted to cling to Jesus. She wanted to hug him. She wanted to hold on to him. She wanted to savor that particular moment, to stay there in that place. But Jesus said, you can't touch me right now. As far as I can tell, this is one of the first experiences of social distancing in the Bible. We can relate to that right now, can't we? We have friends or people outside of our home who we would love to hug and to touch and to shake their hand or have some physical contact with, but we can't do that right now. That's what happened to Mary. It wasn't because of the coronavirus for her, but the feeling was the same. You see, part of the issue here for Mary was that Jesus' body was different. He had not yet ascended to receive his full resurrected body. That was part of the issue. But from a spiritual sense, there's something else happening here. Mary wanted to cling to that current experience and situation. Mary's desire to hug Jesus wasn't wrong. It was just that Jesus had more in mind for Mary. Jesus wanted Mary to be able to move beyond the tomb. Jesus wanted Mary to be able to move toward a greater, more abundant life. He wanted Mary not just to hold on to that moment, but he was calling her to something greater, a larger vision for her life. You know, maybe this is one of the blessings that can come to us from this current pandemic. Yes, we're still in the wilderness. We are still waiting. It still feels like we're in the tomb on Easter Sunday morning. There's a sense of darkness and confusion and fear that just pervades our lives. But we also know this morning we have a chance to pause and to listen to God. I wonder, pre-coronavirus, during the busyness of life, do you ever remember thinking to yourself, you know, I wish I just had a week or two with no responsibilities, with nothing to do, just to be able to kind of sit back and relax and think about my life and restructure things in my life in a way that would give my life more meaning? Well, now we do. During these different days, God speaks our name just as Jesus spoke the name Mary. And if we listen, I think God says to us, look at your life. Why do you do the things you do? Why are you living the way you live? It's not that it's bad. It's not that it's wrong, just like Mary. But God says, I have bigger, greater, more abundant plans for you. You see, religion can be so limiting, but the grace of God, it's always much bigger. It's always grander than we can imagine. On this different Easter Sunday morning, we are reminded that the grace of God always pulls us out of ourselves into something infinitely bigger. The grace of God always says life can be more abundant than you are currently experiencing it. The resurrected Jesus offers us a life that moves beyond our normal, dull, patterned routines in life. Jesus called Mary and later called the disciples to a much greater vision of life than they had for themselves in that moment. And I believe during this crisis and on this very different Easter Sunday, Jesus says to us, pause, reevaluate your life. Don't settle for what is or what has been. But with God, envision some new possibilities. You know, we don't read the book of Song of Solomon very much, but there's a powerful verse at the beginning of that book, chapter 1, verse 6. Listen to what God's word says there. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. What a picture of the religious life that is doing things and saying things that are not wrong, but that often neglects our spiritual growth and development. It's the image of one who is doing good things, but not taking care of oneself or not listening to the voice of the resurrected Christ. It is the analogy of putting an oxygen mask on everyone else around you while forgetting to put on your own mask. It is service without devotion. It is the picture of the failure to cultivate and prioritize our relationship with God, taking spiritual shortcuts. Easter invites us to stop our doing and to simply be with God. This crisis also invites us to stop our doing and to simply be with God. Religion can be what we do or do not do. Faith is about our being with God. Religion can become our attempt to prove our own worthiness. But faith is simply a gift of grace from God. Disease, despair, evil, and death do not have the final word on Easter. God does. On the wall of a small art gallery in Europe, there hangs a painting of Faust playing chess with the devil. And in this painting, the devil has Faust checkmated. And the devil is claiming his soul. And for years, decades, centuries, people looked at that painting and they identified with that painting, for it touched on their feeling that said evil and death seem to have the last word. But one day a great chess master came and he stared at that painting and he studied that painting and he studied the chess match that was identified there, and he studied and he thought and he thought and he studied. And then, disturbing everyone in the art gallery that day, the great chess master stepped back and shouted at the top of his voice, "It's a lie! It's a lie!" And people stared at the man as he yelled, not knowing what he was talking about. And a few minutes later, the great chess master explained, "He's not checkmated. The knight and the king have another move. Evil doesn't win. Sometimes, maybe especially in these days, we feel like sickness and disease and evil and even death have us checkmated. We begin to feel like there are no other moves. There are no other options. It's time to give in, to give up. But Easter says something very different. Easter is God's message to us. I am at work. There are other moves. Evil will not have the final move or the final say in this world. Life is the end, not death. God is always at work with another move. On Easter Sunday, John Claypool said one time, if God could raise Jesus from the dead, if God could do that, possibilities are unlimited. We say this morning, how do we know what God might do with the stresses and the difficulties of this current pandemic? Easter proclaims the incredible news. No situation is beyond hope, for none is beyond God. On that very first Easter, God showed us what God can do. The fact that Christ could come back from the grave tells us that God is able to overcome evil and to bring life to a situation that seems utterly dead and hopeless. The very fact that Jesus could come back from the dead means that ultimate power is on the side of God and goodness, not sickness or death. And the good news of Easter is just as real today on this very different Easter Sunday morning as it is on every other Easter we've ever experienced. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ defeated death and evil, and Christ will come again. A devotional reading was shared with me recently, and I think the words of this devotion say what Jesus was saying to Mary in the tomb when he says, "Let go. Don't hold on to me." In this devotion, God says to us, "This is a time in life when you must learn to let go. To let go of those things you obsess over. To let go of possessions. To let go of control. And in order to let go of something that is precious to you, you need to rest in my God's presence, where you are complete. Take time to bask in the light of my love," God says. "As you relax more and more, your grasping hand opens up, releasing the prized possession you have into my care. And you feel secure, even in the midst of cataclysmic changes, through awareness of my continual presence. For the one who never leaves you is the same one who never changes. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. As you release more and more into my care, all the things of life that subtract and pull away from your abundant life, those things will fall away. For remember, I will never let go of your hand. My hand is your security, which no one and no circumstance can take from you." So on this Easter Sunday morning, let us make a commitment to give up all of those things that take away our abundant life. Let us get rid of our limited visions. Let us get rid of our meager attempts to create our own joy. For Jesus is calling us to something greater, a larger vision for life. It is, after all, Easter Sunday, and he is risen. He is risen indeed. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, on this different Easter Sunday, your word remains the same. The good news has not changed. Jesus died. He was resurrected. He will come again. And you want us to live life in all of its abundance. Lord, on this Easter Sunday, help us to receive your good news. Help us to rejoice in your plan of salvation for us. And help us to experience your love and your goodness and your grace. For it is in the name of the risen Christ that we pray. Amen.